Hello, and welcome to another edition of We Own This Town Music, a podcast dedicated to showcasing new and notable music from Nashville and surrounding areas. I'm your host, Michael Eads, and this is volume 129. This week, I sit down with Cold Lunch Recordings, a trio of unbelievably hard workers focused on the work of being a record label slash show promoter slash event developer. We discuss their history, the reasoning behind the bands they choose to work with, and how they help musicians survive the business of music. Capital B, capital M. We also talk about their relentless work ethic that has resulted in big events like Bob Fest, Tacorama, Halloweird, Discovery Fest, and the upcoming Spew Fest. Spew Fest, if you didn't know, happens on February 9th, 2019 at the Cobra and the East Room, and boasts a lineup of 40 bands between the two venues. It ranges from garage rock to hip hop to electronic music, lots of different styles there. Tickets are only $15 at the moment, and it's a mind-bogglingly good deal, seriously. Many thanks to Gary Brannigan, Carolyn Bowman, and Taylor Jones for joining me in the studio. They were kind enough to take the time out of their busy Sunday to talk to me. As you listen to this, cruise on over to their Instagram at Cold Lunch Recordings and tap follow, as that's the best way to keep up with all of their events and releases. After the interview, I'm going to play some of the music that they've put out, so stay tuned for that. But here it is. We're just going to dive right into the interview, just drop you right into it. So enjoy, and thank you very much to them for spending time with me. That's it. It's just going to start. We're in it now. This is the interview. We're doing it already.
We made it.
Not even going to like chit chat for a little bit to make you all feel comfortable. We're just in it.
Just diving
in. We're here. That's why I stopped off for whiskey on the way.
Well, we have all three members here of Cold Lunch Recordings. Is it plural? Is it singular? Am I saying it correctly?
Plural. Spot on. Yeah,
you got it. I think I've said it singular in the past, thinking I was correct. But I was not.
It's multiple recordings.
Fair. Yeah. Record label based out of Nashville. Currently born out of Palaver Records, correct? Mm-hmm. Based on my research, and also a show promotion engine of some sort. Like, I don't know how you. What's the elevator pitch for what you're doing? Do you think of yourselves more of a record label or more of like a show promoter, or the line is so blurry it doesn't matter?
With the way the industry is going now, a label of our size has to kind of find ways to be valuable to artists and ways to create a platform for artists to stand on and get attention. So I guess artist services is sort of, show promotion is a huge part of it, though.
Nice. Awesome. So let's hear the history of how this whole thing started. Let's start at the beginning. The very beginning. Go all the way back.
All right.
What got you all into music?
I guess just the music itself. And the feelings evoked by it.
Was there anything influential in your youth that really, like, were you a punk kid? Were you, like, rock, just like, I started embarrassingly with Pearl Jam. First concert was Pearl Jam. Yeah. That led the way for a while.
I started classic rock in my parents' car, and I made them switch to pop country when I was about 5 years old, so it was like that sweet spot around 91 to 95, somewhere around there.
That is a sweet spot for pop country.
They kind of kept going with it. I moved into like Pearl Jam, Metallica, Green Day were like my top, mm-hmm. top ones. More classic rock from there. And
don't leave out your hip-hop phase. Which is still going on, I think.
Yeah, I'm in an evolving hip-hop phase. That's
ever-evolving.
Yeah. I guess it all evolves from, like, the... I'm from New York, so it's, like, the early New York-style hip-hop.
Yeah, like Beastie Boys style and predecessors, or...
Yeah, I like more... I guess they were doing it before, even, like, Mobb Deep and... Nas and Wu-Tang are probably my top three.
Yeah.
I went through a terrible phase of nu metal.
I had a similar phase.
I don't know, 1998 through 2001 or so.
Yeah, I was right there with you.
Regrettable, but
Limp Bizkit. I would play that legitimately in my car and love it and sing along and knew every word.
I think Taylor's too. Looking for that on vinyl currently.
I'm kind of rediscovering my nu metal whatever.
Is it worth revisiting? I've never gone back.
You know, it was kind of an ironic thing I started doing for a while. I was showing some friends that had never, they were a little bit younger, never got into it, and then I just started, I don't know, it just became a thing. So now every once in a while I'll put on some Limp Bizkit, not ironically.
It might hold up. I've never gone back.
Does it?
There might be Korn songs that are really good.
It's Korn and Limp Bizkit. Those are the two right there.
What about Slipknot?
Slipknot's a little different, I think. I don't know.
They're not new metal, I guess.
Yeah, I feel like they're more... I mean, I guess they are new metal. I don't know.
I think they're classified as it, but they're very far from it.
It's really just mostly Korn and Limp Bizkit. That's
Cold
really...
Cold Lunch hasn't put out a single new metal record.
Wait till this year.
Oh, this is the year. This is our big year.
Are we in the time cycle now where new metal is back? Like, there's new bands that are new metal?
I think it's just me.
Early on it, yeah.
I keep hearing that ska is going to like make a resurgence. I'm not convinced, but, you know.
It all comes back, right?
Sure.
Doesn't it start with swing first? We get that again, and then we get some ska?
I think we're working through the 80s right now with all this dream pop.
Which I'm loving. I'm having a great time with that.
Yeah, pop stuff coming out.
I agree. I'm a fan. I'm okay with repeating that era.
Mm-hmm.
But
some of them
we could just put
ahead.
That on repeat forever, as far as I'm concerned.
Dark and dancey. Just keep it dark and dancey.
At work, they call me the 80s kid. They always tell me that because I listen to 80s stuff that they all hate. So,
is it all dark and dancey?
Nah, a lot of it is. A lot of it.
It's the good stuff.
I like it.
Me too.
Carolyn, what about yourself? What got you in?
Oh, I'm from a very small town, so exploring music on my own was... I think I came upon it later in life than most people, but when I found out that there was so much other stuff out there, I was just like, I have to know everything now. I got to figure this out.
Was it an internet gateway that got you there?
Yeah, I think maybe some random CDs left in my car over the years or something. I would be like, I've never heard this. And then, of course, illegal downloading.
Right.
Very influential. They would always trick you, you know, with songs... They would
mislabeled.
Name yes, but it worked perfectly because I still know a lot of those
songs.
You like
found Sigur Rós because it was supposed to be Radiohead. Or something.
Yep.
It's and, a good trick.
It worked on me.
Yeah, I don't know if we have those. I mean, you have Spotify now and Apple Music and all those things, so you can like find whatever and listen to it. But there's no like accidental discovering. Mm-hmm. There's playlisting, I guess, that's feeding you things on an algorithm. But I don't know. I like the idea that you went for something and it was something else and you're like, oh, or there's a CD in my car. What is this thing? It's pretty cool.
Mm-hmm.
Taylor, what got you in?
I was a grunge and punk kid.
Yes.
Yes, that was my... It was Nirvana got me into everything. And then I got really deep into late 60s, 70s punk and then everything basically from there. So
that's an excellent gateway.
I had a pink mohawk at one point in time. So that was fun.
That's our street cred.
So yeah, I was that kid. So
that's a good kid to be. That kid is scary when you're not that kid. Like when you're 13 and there's a kid with a pink mohawk, for me, I was like, that's a scary kid. That kid has like an ethos to his living, you know? I was like Pearl Jam, They Might Be Giants, and other like pretty, you know, pretty tame bands for the most part. So I like punk.
Yeah.
Punk has like a message.
Well, and I felt like it was, that's kind of a broad term too, because although I did really like, you know, the aggressive punk stuff, like, you know, the Pearl Jams, They Might Be Giants, all of that stuff. Mm-hmm. I was, you know, into like the 90s, like slacker stuff, Pavement and stuff like that too.
Right.
But I just always loved the look of the mohawk and the patches.
I think
and
you should bring it back.
Maybe I will. Probably not.
So you're all coming. How do you all end up in Nashville? I guess that's the next thing. Like, Gary, you're moving from New York to Nashville for
via Phoenix. I guess I was out there for recording school, and I thought that I was going to work in a studio, and I had already interned out there, so I needed money, really.
Sure.
So I couldn't really keep up the interning life anymore.
Right.
Not long after, we had an opportunity to start Palaver Records with a guy that ended up just being a complete weirdo. And
You don't have to tell tales on anybody.
Yeah, well, we kind of just moved on without him. We didn't have a name yet. We had bands we were trying to work with, yeah. And then we kind of just quickly got it all together and moved forward. And then
cool.
That was 2009.
All right. So Palaver's going, and then at one point you decide to change brands, shut that down. Like what opens you up to Cold Lunch?
Well, we had a couple of turnovers in the company. And ended up Caroline was an intern back in 2013, I guess, and at a point we were about to have some turnovers, and we asked her to join us. It was the original guy that that I started it with, not the weird guy.
Yeah,
he is weird, but not the one we got away from. So we decided, just after, I mean, this was what, 2015 that you got on?
Yeah, I guess so.
We've just been kind of doing the same thing over and over. We got lumped into being an Americana label, and really none of us were too crazy about Americana. We were all just rockers and got stuck there. And
was that what was coming out on Palaver? Was it Americana?
Some.
Yeah.
I mean, we had plenty of other things too, but
like Buffalo Clover,
right?
You know,
in Nashville though, most of the Nashville bands, I guess, were Americana.
So people just sort of pigeonholed you into being all that.
Yeah.
Really, that was just a portion of it.
Yeah. And then doing these other releases, sludge rock stuff and indie rock stuff and even some psych blues stuff, it was kind of hard to get away from that hole
right.
that we were in. And yeah, I guess Caroline brought it to us and made us all realize, like, we're at our best at these rock shows that we're doing, because we were doing the Thursday night at Foo Bar
right.
for 3 or 4 years, I guess.
Every Thursday. Every single Thursday.
Yeah.
The talent started getting a little watered down, I feel
well,
like.
Well, it's tough. That is yeah. a very yeah. tough
unrelenting.
Gig. Yeah.
That's nuts.
Yeah, it's like almost 200 shows we did there.
But that's why he knows everyone,
because right.
he's had everyone on a show before in some capacity. You've been to something he's done, you've met him.
Yeah.
So it was a great thing to do.
Oh, yeah. I was super hesitant just because it was like, I had spent 7 years building Palaver Records, and then it was like, are we going to let all this go? Put our whole lives into this
yeah.
for 7 years, basically. And she talked us into kind of, let's just keep it going and start this new thing. And then the new thing went so well that we slowly kind of closed up everything at Palaver.
So there was overlap between the two.
Oh, yeah. It was crazy for a while. The first, like, probably the first, almost the whole year, we were still doing the Thursday shows. So we'd have Palaver shows on Thursdays. We'd have Cold Lunch shows other days. And we were branching out doing, like, we had residencies at different times at the Basement and at Five Spots. So some weeks we'd have 5 shows a week, and they were split up between, like, all right, we got to put our Palaver hats on tonight. And then it was like, all
right,
we can
right.
we can be wow. weird tonight.
That's intense.
Yeah, it was a lot. It was hectic, but I don't know. I feel like it kind of it gave us a start. We were able to kind of set a precedence for ourselves and still just run with it and create a name for ourselves, I guess,
yeah.
in the rock scene.
Absolutely. I can, as an outsider, I can definitely attest to that. a lot of great bands on the bill. I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves there, but Palaver is shut down. Carolyn's convinced everyone to take on this new name with maybe more of a focus. Is that mm-hmm. sounds accurate to you mm-hmm. as well? Taylor, how are you in on this?
Well, I came in after Cold Lunch, but I had been kind of a part of helping out, playing in different bands with Palaver. Met Gary and Caroline while they were still doing that, especially like during the Thursday things. And I just started kind of helping out, I guess, mm-hmm. just, you know, and just would always be there and just develop friendships. And then I've lived here my whole life, and I don't know, it was really cool. It was a cool thing to be a part of, and seeing a lot of scenes coming and going. So I kind of attached myself to it.
You have such great musical taste, and you've studied up a lot on the history of scenes, and I guess that was always something that we saw very valuable about you, is that you knew that stuff and could implement it into what we had visioned too, so.
Yeah, so, and, like, I feel like when they finally asked me to come on board, like, you know, in an official capacity, it kind of just already made sense, you know?
Right.
We were already close. I was already basically at every show helping out, whatever.
Right.
They were basically getting me in free to every single show, and I was doing merch or helping them with doors or something like that, or, you know.
Just made it official.
Yeah, exactly. So, and that was, what, like a couple years ago now? Like summer, yeah, summer,
year? I really can't pinpoint the time. It's just...
Yeah, it all kind of blurs together because, like I said, it was kind of like already a thing.
You were the guy that wouldn't go away for a while.
Yeah. After hours, the girl that wouldn't go away. Yeah, that's sort of...
Caroline was the girl that wouldn't go away. And, that's, and then we dangled a little bit of money because she took really good pictures. So it was like we worked a photo budget into the production on the Thursday night shows and stuff.
Nice.
And kept her around.
And then they like my opinions.
Yeah.
I got opinions.
You got opinions. That's definitely a way to drive a record label, to have opinions.
There's no lack of opinions between the three of us, I'm pretty sure. So
Cold Lunch becomes, I believe this is born out of your ideas, your opinions here, based on what I read in the East Nashvillian, that you wanted to focus more on local acts.
Mm-hmm.
And that seems to be the case still now. What was the idea behind that? Like, why focus on local and...
I guess more than anything, we're fans. So to work with bands in a capacity where we could be both fan and friend and supporter, it's hard to do that when you don't know the person. So getting to know the bands on a personal level where we're with them, we're seeing what they're doing and watching them grow and seeing what they need, that's a much easier way for us to figure out what we can do to help. So it just made sense to us. Plus, I mean... There's so much.
There really is.
The idea that people would not get to hear what comes out of this town is sad.
Right.
So we will not let it happen. We want it out there.
I think it's interesting you talk about the history of scenes in Nashville. Like, I kind of grew up here, and it's always had this, you know, the country music label is applied to it. But that's, like, not at all what I knew, like, coming to local shows and, like, lots of stuff in Murfreesboro and... You know, I worked at Sponge Bath Records that was, like, very hot for, like, very tiny second of time in Murfreesboro in, like, the late 90s. And that, to me, was just like, oh, there's... This country music thing is complete bullshit.
Your Wikipedia page is up on my computer right now. I was talking to someone...
I don't think I have a Wikipedia page.
No, well, the Sponge Bath does.
Yeah.
Because I work at Vinyl Tap, the record store.
Yeah.
And, I don't even know where... This is really weird that I don't know why it is up. But I was talking to someone about it. Maybe we were talking about legacy acts or something. Mm-hmm. Like, I want some of the older scene to, like, be, you know, revived a little bit or, like, reminded how important that was. So I was talking to someone about something and that came up. That's crazy.
Yeah. The Katies, I think, were on Sponge Bath and they're back. They're playing shows again.
That's cool.
Seth Timms, who was Fluid Ounces, he's playing shows still. He's around. Matt Mahaffey moved back from L.A. He's around. So I think that's there.
Great.
But yeah, I don't think they really get the same focus, I think, that, like, in the Nashville scene and other publications. But if you're up for bringing them back,
I think that's
I'm sure
incredible.
They're up for it, too.
That's great to know. Thank you.
Need some legacy acts in the rock scene around here.
Mm-hmm.
You think it's all too young?
Not necessarily, but... There's not really any legacy. I mean, R. Stevie Moore had a comeback for a minute, but he's always, like, retired or focusing on poetry when we try to get him for a show.
Yeah, he's great, though. His legacy is, I think, persistent, even when he's inactive.
He's definitely, I would say, the king of DIY, really.
His Bandcamp page is insane. Like, I follow his Bandcamp page, and at least once a week, it's like, new release from R. Stevie Moore.
Oh, yeah.
Really?
Go check it out. New release.
He has, like, 400 records, doesn't he?
Yeah. It's insane.
I don't even
it's
know
ridiculous.
How that's possible.
So, what's the first release that's officially Cold Lunch Recordings?
Was that the Jag?
001 is the Jag. 002 is the Thelma and the Sleaze tape that actually came out before the Jag did, though.
Well, you gotta have the numbers. Mm-hmm. The numbers are the best.
Yeah.
The numbers don't lie.
001, the Jag's Pondermental Wonderment and Hypocrisy.
Yeah. Best, one of the best local records. I would say a best record in general. Like, if you haven't spent time with that record, it's a banger.
I still put it on at the shop every once in a while, too. And somebody's like, who is mm-hmm. this?
I'm keep like, selling it. Like,
I know,
out
same
of,
here.
Out of my own, I have my own collection at Vinyl Tap, and I'll play it, and someone will buy it off of me right there. It happens all the time.
I think I've done that a couple times, and I have a box at my house, so I'm just like, okay, well, there you go.
Wow.
It's that good.
You guys are hustling at your homes. That's amazing.
It can't help it.
Yeah.
It's real. It's true.
All, it's all hustle in this business. Really.
So you're up to, what, 57 releases now? More than that? Is that right?
I think we just submitted 64.
Oh, wow.
For the next thing. We just did the label copy for it all. I think it was 64.
I'm just checking out the old coldlunchrecordings.com. Don't know if that's up to date or not.
It is not.
Slightly behind the times.
But it goes up to this Sad Baxter 7-inch, which I know there's been multiple things since then. But that's still pretty...
Mm-hmm. That's fairly recent.
Missing 2018 on here, let's be honest. You're missing
a
whole year.
That's over a year ago, though.
So bad.
That was November.
That is not our strongest suit.
Well, it's all right. But this is still an incredible reference to go back and just
look through. Does the website still fart?
No, not anymore. We had to get a little more pro after.
Oh, that's where the line is? Okay.
Something happened. I think it may have been with the distro deal or something was coming up that we had to, like, submit our website.
The fart noises didn't stand?
Yeah, it used to be, like, it would wait, like, 15 seconds after you logged on and then, like, it would throw a little air at you.
That's the humor in the brand, if you haven't picked up that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, Cold Lunch Recordings, which I think it's just like a great innocuous name. Like, it doesn't, if you hear it, it doesn't mean anything, but it also is like very memorable. But I know from reading this East Nashville, you guys got to read this East Nashvillian article. It really gives a great bit of background. But Cold Lunch is a very... I don't know. I wouldn't say offensive, but it's like a sex act. It's like an Urban Dictionary entry.
It's kind of gross.
But if you, but if you look,
I don't
want to
shame anyone on their stuff. Do your thing.
Yeah, do what you do. But if you look this up,
safe for work. We'll say that.
But if you look up Cold Lunch, just Cold Lunch in Urban Dictionary, there's at least six definitions, and they're all different.
It's open to interpretation.
And they're all very imaginative.
And that's one way you could describe it.
Mm-hmm. And I don't know which one is meant for the label, and I don't want to know.
Yeah.
I like that it could just be any of these at any time of day.
Mm-hmm.
It might change over time.
Could.
It's ambiguous.
But that's a little bit of irreverence that I guess you didn't have that with Palaver. It was maybe a little more straightforward. Or
yeah, I think really Cold Lunch was kind of a... We started our Instagram before we even like launched. It was Cold Lunch Recordings, but before we even launched it, we were just posting weird shit. And I think it was like really a complete rebellion against what we had been doing and what we were pigeonholed in. And just like the Nashville scene as a whole. And we kind of wanted to make it weird and do weird things and be able to. That was our biggest thing, was like we could literally do whatever we wanted. We did for a long time on Instagram, and then, you know, it gets to a point where people start taking you seriously, and then we kind of went with it.
Still pretty irreverent, don't you think?
And I feel like it's a constant reminder.
It used to get real weird, though.
More disgusting.
A lot more vomit.
A lot more vomit.
Yeah, so much. Like,
it's also a constant reminder just not to take things too seriously, that it's kind of all about the fun. And I feel like that's kind of what we always try to revert back to, is how much fun are we having? And if we're not, then we need to do something different.
Yeah, I think being in a band is very difficult. Like, the business of music, writing songs, recording songs, all that seems very entertaining. Nothing I know about because I'm not a musician. But the business of music seems like the antithesis of what people know to do as musicians. It's a complete opposite skill set.
For sure.
How are you approaching that with, like, you're working with maybe a lot of young bands? How do you help them get through this? If you're artist services, you're helping them put on shows, you're obviously a name that people love and trust. What's your advice to bands to, like, hustle? How do you teach the hustle? Share your secrets.
I mean, I guess it is weird because, you know, like you were saying, it's art and money, yeah. And those things don't go. So where do you find the middle? And as the industry is changing super crazy and quickly, we're always trying to figure it out too. But the thing that we live by and we try to get our bands to adopt too is just have fun, stay true to yourself and what you find joy in, and treat people right and do all that stuff. But like, be creative, like put yourself out there. Yeah. Especially lately, we've been talking more with bands about like, what's their next step? They want to make a record, but what do they do with that? Where do they go? And it's not one of these things where some big label is going to hear your song and give you $1 million and then you're famous. Then that's not how it goes. I mean, you could be stuck as an opening band for 10 years, you know, but that's okay if you're having fun.
Right.
And you're doing what you love to do.
Right. Like, what's wrong with being the opening act? Nothing. You get to play music.
Yeah. If that's what you love, then we want to help you continue to do that and do it well and push yourself.
Yeah. And it's like, you know, I mean, usually fame and money, as far as like when it comes to being in a band or an artist, it usually happens to you. You know what I mean? It's like, we try to keep perspective with our bands to just have fun, do what they're going to do, and just put yourself in opportunities where more people will hear you.
Right.
You know? And I think we each have experience from running labels and being in bands, and being me personally being in a couple bands where it's like, okay, shit's about to take off, and then it just completely nosedives and nothing ever happens.
Yeah.
And it's like, and I think leading by example too, just having fun at our shows, putting on these events, showing that we don't take things too seriously, but we care about what our work and what we do and what we put out. So
yeah.
I think just kind of like just being that entity alone, kind of just everybody just kind of follows suit, or, you know, feeds off of each other, you know, doing that. So
and do you think that, I'm saying this facetiously, I know the answer is yes, by doing that, do you think you're helping to foster the scene in general? Like, there's cold lunch shows and they're always great bills, but then I think people sort of flock to that and build off of it, you know, like, meaning, oh, I saw these four bands on a cold lunch bill, and now I want to book this band for my show over here and this band for my show over here. Like, I think you're maybe helping to grow even way outside of yourselves, just for Nashville in general.
I think it's kind of cultivated a community, really, like a scene. And like you said, you grew up here. Like, I'm a little bit younger, but at the same time, it's like growing up, it was like dog eat dog. Like, bands, everybody was against each other. I mean, you'd have like a clique, you know, there would be a clique, but then it would be, everybody was against each other. And now it's like, one of the reasons I attached myself to it was because it was the first time I saw 40, 50 bands where you go to like one of their shows and it would be a person from 50 different other bands going and supporting and just happy for the other bands and everybody just having a good time, getting along, talking about what everybody's doing, and everybody just genuinely, you know, happy for each other and wishing everybody success, and people plugging, you know, playing in 15 different bands, you know, and like everybody, it's like a big family, I feel like.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that scene is opening up more too. Mm-hmm. Like, it used to be sort of insular, maybe.
Yeah.
Right? I don't know. Correct me if I'm wrong.
I mean, that's another reason we kind of have always tried to be approachable. Just, I mean, when we were trying to book bands in the rock scene, when we were doing the Thursday nights, it was always difficult because they were so cliquey and they were in these cliques and didn't want to, like, mess with anything outside of that.
Right. Like, you don't want an electronic band to open for you.
Yeah, and we always were very eclectic with Palaver and everything in those Thursday night shows, and at this point we're obviously with Spewfest branching out a bit more into other scenes a little bit.
Well, that's an excellent segue there. love that.
You're a pro.
Very, very. You just planted that seed. we're going to water it now. So Cold Lunch goes for several years. Your now its 64th release has been put together. There's a huge amount of music to listen to. So if people are listening to this and don't know Cold Lunch, they have a ton of research to do. But over the last 4 years, you've been running a festival. 3 years? This is the fourth, correct?
Well,
1 year we did two. One year we had a summer one also.
Oh, all right.
And I guess It started 4 years ago, the culmination of, it was the third anniversary of the Thursday night shows, and we had the Palaver Records blowout.
The Palaver Records blowout is the start of what becomes Bewfest.
Yeah, it was 22 bands, it was East Room, it was Foo Bar at the time, it was both stages there, and then that summer was when we were planning the launch, and then we...
And we thought 22 bands is not nearly enough.
Yeah.
More.
Always more.
Always more.
So the blowout goes well, and you think, oh, we can do this, but bigger. So you decide to create Spewfest.
Yeah. And I guess at that point it was, I think originally it was going to be the blowout too. And then we were like, man, let's just do it. And we, I don't know if we expected bigger even at that point, because we had just launched at the point, I think, when that happened. So we were kind of running on that. We didn't know what was going to happen.
Yeah. I'm sure it was successful.
Absolutely. Yeah, it was
fun.
It was a crazy good time, for sure.
Yeah.
They've all been amazing.
Right.
So I think we saw every band. The first one.
Yeah.
Is it possible to see every band?
It is.
We've made a point.
Interesting.
It is hard.
We missed.
Sure, it's work.
It takes great dedication. You'll learn things. You learn to, Gary's best trick is getting a beer, and you don't feel pressured to finish it. Just hide it away. So you find your little hiding spot at both places.
Oh, interesting.
So you can just go back and forth. And
so if you find a hidden beer at the Cobra, it's probably Gary.
It's Gary.
Now everybody's going to be looking for hidden beers.
It's like an Easter egg hunt.
Or there's just
going to
be like five of them, and you're not going to know which one's yours.
No.
The fullest one.
You won't find mine, though. I got the good spots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. One time I attempted to drink a beer per band as a joke
that.
At first, oh, and goodness. Then everybody started encouraging me to do it. I mean, it was like taking three sips of a beer, but getting one at every... I didn't make it all night.
No.
I think I missed the last like five. I saw every band up until that point.
You left your backpack. You left everything.
Yeah, I left early that time. Not never again. That was a horrible idea.
We've learned lessons. We're getting pretty professional at attending Spewfest.
You know how to attend the show that you're
We're getting pretty good at it.
So this is coming up February 9th between the Cobra and the East Room. So very similar, same setup as the Palaver blowout. But the lineup for here, I'm sure this is actually true for every year that I've ever seen a Spewfest lineup. The lineup is bonkers.
Mm-hmm.
It's a ton of bands. And the ones I haven't heard of are augmented by the ones that I have heard of. So I can look and say, like, I don't know 20% of these, but the 80% that I do know are phenomenal. So I have to imagine there's 100% success rate here.
We're
you can brag a little
bit. Protective of the lineup. So, like, we're proud of it.
We're very proud. I think that's one thing where it's like, it's hardly ever two of us. Basically, it's all three of us agreeing on these bands. Like, we're very, very diligent and, you know, kind of talk through like who we want to have and just, I don't know, just bands in general, because we want to make sure it's the coolest show that we want to go and see, you know. Mm-hmm. So we want all of our favorite bands at that point in time, you know, that we want to see. So
and this year we were working on expanding the genres involved, and that's been really fun.
Mm-hmm.
I'm excited about a lot of that, like hip-hop getting involved, more electronic stuff. There's always been sort of a psych garage,
right.
That's kind of our bread and butter, but expanding outside of that has been really exciting. I'm stoked.
Yeah, it looks amazing. I mean, anyone that hasn't seen the lineup yet, it's headlined by All Them Witches and Omni. Omni was like the announced band at the beginning, and then you surprised everyone by adding All Them
Witches.
Pretty awesome surprise.
Yeah.
Just reading a couple here. Chrome Pony, Tim Gent, Sad Baxter, Glove, Only, Have a Rad Day, Vastness, Microwave Mountain, Snake Chaney I have not seen play in quite a while. That is very exciting. So that's like, I read 10 band names out of 30?
40.
40 bands.
Yeah.
Unbelievable.
Yeah. We had to really, this year, to kind of keep it in this, just growing and getting better, we had to reach out of town, and we teamed up with Sugar Spice Booking, Banana Tapes Records, and Acrophase Records, and the $3 Hip Hop Collective out of Murfreesboro. Just kind of worked in other people to help us.
Yeah.
Get
but
a
that's
bill
amazing.
Like that. And then the other part was a lot of out-of-town bands, too. So the $3 crew kind of really helped us curate the hip-hop aspect of it. And
yeah.
We already had a ton of out-of-town bands that we've either booked before, we've worked with at South By, or we just really love that we hit up to.
I mean, it's unbelievable. It's cool that you involve that many people and that you have this solid of a lineup. What time of day does this begin to fit 40 bands?
It's getting earlier and earlier.
Yeah.
Because more bands...
Are we in the AM yet? Does it start in the AM?
No.
Not quite
maybe
that
next
early.
Year.
Probably 2 o'clock in the PM.
That's pretty good. That's solid.
It's a full 12-hour day.
Right.
If you get there at that point.
I mean, there's everything you need. There. You don't...
Oh, yeah.
You'll have everything there.
Everything's provided for you.
Yeah. For a price. For a price.
Yeah.
You can get waters. Yeah. Beers. We'll have sodas.
Whoa. Yeah. Soda?
Passion Root Catering is going to be making some vegan fare.
Sweet.
That'll be delicious. And Cobra has their burritos. And is it just burritos?
I think so.
I thought it was tacos, too.
Maybe they do tacos as well.
Tacos and burritos from Cobra.
Either way, you're set.
Yeah. I mean, you really do. You're not even being facetious. You really do have everything you need. If you get there at 2, you're set.
Yeah.
If you're a late riser, you could legitimately have breakfast, lunch, and dinner there.
Yeah. That's not a bad deal. Well, that's exciting. People can buy tickets now. They're on sale, I believe. Is there a discounted price for the first 200, or is that passed already?
No, there's still some. Yeah, there's still a few. It's $15.
For 40 bands.
40 bands.
How are you doing that? How are you... I mean, not really. Don't really answer that. $15 for 40 bands.
It's part of Gary's secret.
Yeah.
He's the guy. He's the guy that crunches all the numbers and makes everything work.
That's just incredible.
He does the work of 10 men. I do not understand. I don't.
We know how well we did last year, and we bank it on that, extended a little bit, had some pretty good sponsor help this year.
Sure.
I mean, this show, it's been going for a while. It's our risk in it is just making it bigger, as we know we're going to probably do as good as we did last time.
Right.
And that means every band's getting paid at least something about what they'd get paid for a local show anyway. So
that's astonishing to hear, honestly.
Again, it's like we want people to be able to go to these shows. We want them to be affordable, but we try and do that balancing act on all sides. But we feel like it's more than worth it.
Yeah, I mean, I recently talked to Olivia and Catherine from Dark Matter, and they're a big part of the DIY scene. Mm-hmm. Like, that's where they come from. And they talked to me about what they charge at the door of Dark Matter. Mm-hmm. And I could tell it was a very, like, big deal to them to go from 5 to 7 to 10. Huge.
And we're in full support kind of that mentality in general of just, you know. And plus, I mean, at Dark Matter, they have $3 beers. It's like they offset it, you know. But I think what they're doing is really cool and, you know, trying to make sure that there's a new standard set for bands. And I know it's important to them. It's important to us to make sure that everybody involved, it's worth it for them.
Right.
You know, this is time that everybody spends doing their stuff. And
right.
Everybody should benefit from it.
Yeah.
You know? So, and that's the only thing that's going to keep that kind of stuff alive. You
and
know?
It's really not that much money.
No, it's not.
It's really not. No. For a night out.
No.
It's a pretty damn good deal.
People will go to Pearl Diver and spend $75, you know, in like 2 hours.
Those
but
cocktails are dank,
so yeah, Spewfest is right on the horizon. 40 great bands. Not to make you focus beyond that, but what's beyond that?
We've been working on South by Southwest showcases. This will be our third year there.
Is that as hectic as everything else you've undertaken, or that one's easier?
That one's easier because it's just lineups. Like here, I don't know. Gary, actually, that's a question for you.
I guess, I deal with logistical stuff a lot of the times, but yeah, with South By, if they've got backline and drum set, we just have to get to the spot and hope the bands can show up too.
Yeah.
For the most part, anyway, but I would say it's comparable.
It's the general madness that you're used to.
Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, we tend to lead a life of chaos.
There's a lot of running around.
Business, yeah.
In general, no matter what. So.
Oh, yeah. Talk to us February 7th.
Yeah,
8th.
Right.
We'll do a follow-up interview.
Yeah, we'll just do a quick call and see how beat down you are.
All right.
I doubt you will.
Well, I try to get all my work done before the show, and then I can move around, roam, put out fires, and do that.
Yeah. Oh, there won't be any fires.
No.
It's going to go very smoothly.
Yes.
They all go 100%. Very smoothly, right? There's never any fires?
Never, ever.
We've never really had much of an issue at any of our shows, and I hope that continues. Yeah. We've been super lucky with all that.
So yeah. South by Southwest is on the horizon after Spewfest. We all should stay focused on Spewfest. It's coming up. Get your tickets. Mm-hmm. But then South by Southwest is beyond that. I'm sure you have several releases on the horizon as well.
A lot of ones we're excited about. We're mm-hmm. really excited this year. I think we're kind of really pushing. We have a lot of bands that we've wanted to work with and, you know, vice versa. And we're finally in a position that we can kind of put out a lot of this music. We have like 4 or 5 releases. Mm-hmm. I think we're just super excited.
We're doing a split
about.
With Lasso Spells and Forestry from Seattle.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so that's fun. Lasso Spells, the last record, I don't know if you spent time with it, but
I have.
It's really, yeah, Brett's great. And let's see, we got Hari. They're putting stuff out.
Awesome.
And Z.
Yeah, I think those are the definites right now.
The definites. Mm-hmm. Those are extremely solid.
Yeah.
I know.
I hear rumor of another one that I won't mention, but I'm also excited about it as well. So this is
there's a few on the horizon.
Yeah, we got a couple other ones that we're really excited about. So should be finalized.
At least 4 records coming up that you are comfortable saying that number around.
Yeah.
And I'm sure the shows will continue as well, right? Like there's no future in which you retract on that. Because it's all part of the ultimate plan.
Mm-hmm.
I think we're doing a little 420 party.
Oh. Dankfest, maybe.
Dankfest. Okay. Yeah.
may or may not happen.
Well, you heard it here first.
We always do the East Nashville Crawfish Bash.
Yeah.
And Bob Fest later on.
Yeah, talk to me about Bob Fest.
What a magical time.
Tell everyone what it is and how it went.
It was our first outdoor festival, like overnight outdoor festival. It was out in Adams, Tennessee, like, 45 minutes out. Beautiful on the water.
On the Red River, yeah.
Yeah. And
right down the street from the Bellwitch Cave.
Yes.
Ooh,
which was
terrifying.
Nice.
Spooky.
So. She left us alone.
This time.
Yeah. We had 2 stages there, camping.
Insurance.
Yeah. Mad insurance.
Gotta have the insurance. This is amazing.
Yeah, it was really fun. It was basically a bunch of East Nashville friends and just like getting together.
I feel like you guys are opening up experiences, mm-hmm. experiential
trying
shows.
To.
Is that the right way to put it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think we're just sick of going to the same old show. So we got presented this opportunity for Bob Fest and jumped on that as soon as we could.
Yeah. Bob Fest, Spew Fest, and Dank Fest all coming under your wing. I mean, that's incredible. What else? What are the other fests that I'm missing?
We usually do the taco.
Taco-rama is pretty incredible. Right.
Which is, you know,
food. Dabble in food, too.
We just like tacos.
Yeah, we like tacos a lot, so.
Gary, I haven't told you yet, but I told Taylor yesterday I've had this idea. Well, I keep an interesting circle, so I'll just pull ideas off of them and, you know, take them as my own.
Sure.
but Cold Lunch presents Jock Jams 2019. Mm. I want bands to, they can play like a set, you know, but every band has to cover at least 1 Jock Jam.
All right.
And then we can take, I want to keep their Jock Jam.
That'd be pretty good.
Yeah, I think that would be fun.
So there might be some Jock Jams on the way.
Yeah.
We do holiday parties. Like we did Eclipse party when the eclipse happened, 4th of July.
We should do a 4th of July, too. Mm-hmm. We did the last, well, I guess we turned the eclipse party into a 4th of July party this year.
Halloween sometimes New Year's Eve, depending on how everything goes.
There's been talk of a hip-hop event, too.
Nice.
Yeah, we're just trying to get through Spewfest first, really, before...
Understandable.
Get Spewfest out of the way before we start planning another one.
That is an intense list of large events to be putting on, and also having just regular shows, quote-unquote regular shows.
I think we usually average a show a week.
Yeah, April's going to be wild this year. We got so much coming up in April with Record Store Day and
Dank
the
Fest,
Z release
Z
and Dankfest.
Maybe another release right around that time.
Damn.
So. Yeah.
That's phenomenal. Great work.
Thank you. It's a lot of work, but when you can finally sit down with a cool, crispy boy and, and hang out and watch a band, it's all worth it.
So where is the best place for people to keep up with you? Which is the social media of choice? The Facebook?
I'd say our Instagram. Instagram. Pretty solid.
That's the one to go to, huh?
Yeah.
All right.
Our website has our show listings, but I'd say Instagram has the most up-to-date stuff.
Yeah.
Relatable content as well.
Yeah.
Highly relatable.
And not as much vomit as it used to.
Unfortunately. No. We still get them. Just
yeah, the group personal. Thread is something else.
mostly thanks to this guy right here.
I know.
I like funny things.
Yeah.
But I feel like the things I think are funny, other people are a little bit disgusted by.
I think that's the part you like the most.
It is, totally. Just the reactions.
Mm-hmm.
Not safe for lunch.
We'll just keep mining for the weirdness, and maybe take a weekend and let the Instagram go retro and just share all the weird things.
Well, here's a little cheat code, is that if you get on the Twitters,
oh no,
Gary sneaks by a lot of stuff because Caroline and I don't really venture on the Twitters.
You're on Twitter so
I've
much.
I've gotten back on recently, but.
That's where Gary plays
after dark. It's a little blue.
I've been reading it. It's pretty solid.
The Cold Lunch?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Because there's a Spewfest one, too, but that one's pretty formal right now. We'll wait till the off-season to...
Yeah.
Or the day of. Hopefully we can get some Spew submissions, too.
Yeah.
So,
oh, goodness.
Yeah.
Anybody that spews on camera as a result of Spewfest gets lifetime entry.
Oh, no. You're promoting a behavior here.
Yeah.
It's pretty easily accomplishable.
We're not encouraging you to do it.
We don't want them to drink too much on anything.
No. It's not about binge drinking. It's about
purging.
Yeah, just get it out.
It's about purging. I think we only have one person right now that
He's a member.
We have one member.
Two?
We have Jeffrey.
Uh-huh. And Ryan.
And Ryan, that's right.
We have two memberships right now.
Wow.
So you can join the elite group, you know.
Throwing up's the worst, though.
I hate throwing up. I hate it. I won't even do it even if I know it'll make me feel better. I avoid it.
We watched that Instagram video the other day of me having a really hard time at, what was that? Oh, Discovery Fest.
Another fest.
That's another thing.
That was with baby bands. At Uko Studios. It was really fun, but...
I've never been there, and I'm so curious.
It's cute. The backyard's cute.
Yeah, that was
the only
time I had been, but it was great.
Mm-hmm.
But we had a bunch of hot peppers that Gary was...
Habaneros.
Yeah.
We had a few people.
A beer. You could get a free beer if you ate the pepper. That was the deal.
I see what's happening. I see a thread here. I see a common thread.
There was some purging that day.
Oh, yeah.
There was a couple people that... It kept it down for a minute, but not too long.
I underestimated that, really.
Yeah, I come back for a second, so. He's like, man, I'm really broke right now.
we like to give alternative methods of, you know.
Yeah, entertain us.
Yeah.
Yeah, these guys are doing a lot of work to entertain you.
I am.
Come back and entertain them.
That's Please. Like the taco eating contest. We always hope someone will vomit then. But it's just, I don't know. People don't do it enough on camera.
Oh, it's like, it's so hard to even eat so much that you would do that. It's so hard to make your body take it in at that volume and pace to get there.
So, Cold Lunch Recordings, a lot of great shows, a lot of great music, and really an underlying desire just to make people vomit. Like, that's the core... Yeah. Of it.
You cracked it.
Yeah. Wow. Such a good interview.
Podcast over.
All right. That wraps it up. Again, major, major thanks to Gary, Carolyn, and Taylor for joining me and sharing the story. I'm legitimately blown away by the amount of work they're doing and the bar of quality that they're able to maintain. It's nuts. If you aren't familiar with their roster, here's a few tracks to dip your toe in. We're going to play The Jag, which was the first release that they had. Then we're going to play something from Sad Baxter. And then we're going to play a song that I think might be one of the greatest songs to come from the Nashville area, from Penicillin Baby. Here we go.
Such a lucky boy, you came at such a good time. Oh girl, I've never felt the world turning like this before. And since we are such good friends, we'll let them dance between us. So let's see your sexuality. We've got no secrets, no locks, no doors.
fender for me.
So that was just a little bit of music from Cold Lunch Recordings, if you're not familiar. They've released music from Sad Baxter, The Inscape, Mom and Dad, Quiche Night, Totals, Laundry, Harpooner, Penicillin Baby, Thelma and the Sleaze, Microwave Mountain, and that's just the tip of the proverbial iceberg. Please, do some research, find out more releases from them, and go to their events. You are guaranteed a good time. All right. That does it for this edition of We Own This Town. As always, any questions, comments, submissions, suggestions, or general feedback can be directed to @WeOwnThisTown on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook, or just head on over to weownthistown.net. All the stuff is there. It's the internet. We keep it on the web. We love to hear from you. Thank you so much for listening. Thank you to Cold Lunch Recordings. Bye.
I just never laugh so hard.
Than watching someone vomit?
Prank calls and people vomiting are my two. I basically on the floor. Raffle.